And we're back. Thank you for listening to Food Talk STL on 590 KFNS. I'm David Craig. Visit us online at foodtalkstl.com. And joining us now, wine guy Chris Howell. Good morning, Chris, and thank you for joining us on Food Talk STL.
Well, thank you for having me.
You're in town this week on business. What's the name of your new company, the company that you're newly employed by?
It's called Sudaraj. We're a private wine retailer right there in Napa Valley.
And would you spell that out for listeners?
Yeah, Soutirage.
And what does that mean?
It's a French term, a winemaking term, that refers to transferring wine from one barrel to another, or called racking.
Well, I guess I have to ask, since you're from town, where'd you go to high school? Did you go to town high school here in town?
I did. Francis Howell North.
And then you migrated from there, where all in your restaurant and wine career?
Almost all of my experience has been in restaurants. I had a short 5-year stint where I worked for Pinnacle Imports and then Bomarito Wholesalers here in St. Louis. But prior to that, everything really before and after in St. Louis was in the restaurant field. So I got my start at the BK Lounge, the Burger King.
okay.
But I worked, at Starlight Roof of the Chase, at Adams Mark, was one of the renditions at Seven Gables Inn, helped open Truffles to a degree, and was last at Monarch.
Now, were you cooking in any of these places, or were you mostly involved in the liquor side?
I was always in the front of the house, slowly moving closer and closer to a sommelier or a beverage manager style position.
And then you got the big gig in Napa Valley in Yountville at the, I guess, arguably the best restaurant in America. Many people would say that. The French Laundry. How did that gig come about?
You know, I was looking to kind of spread my wings. I loved St. Louis for sure, but every time I went out to California, I had such a great time. So I was talking with my then fiance, now wife, Marianne, and I said, Let's look at San Francisco. Let's look at Napa Valley. And unbeknownst to me, she sent out my resume to the French Laundry. She told me, I laughed. I thought it was funny at the time, for sure. One of those things, 6 weeks later, I got a call from the French Laundry, a battery of interviews. They flew me out there, another battery of interviews, and didn't hear anything for about another 5-6 weeks. So I thought, hey, that was fun. That was great. What an opportunity. What an experience. And then they called me, they offered me the job. I was out in California 5 weeks later. So from start to finish, in 3 months, I was living happily in St. Louis to moving across country to living in Napa Valley.
And how long did you work at French Laundry?
I worked there for a little over 4 years.
For people who have heard of it, maybe seen pictures, saw Thomas Keller do that, I think, American Express commercial in the Super Bowl and such, and they've heard the name and they know about his big place in New York City and all that. Describe it. If I went out there, of course, I would have to have a reservation. How much in advance?
They take reservations 60 days out to the day.
So you get that reservation, you're out in Napa, you hit a few of the wineries, and you're going, let's say, for dinner tonight. What do I need to know?
Well, we always tell our guests, arrive sober and hungry.
Yeah.
I think wine tasting all day long and then trying to do the French Laundry is always one of the big mistakes. But it's an amazing, even to the last day when I saw food come out of the kitchen, it absolutely blew me away at, number one, I hadn't seen that dish in 4 years. So they're constantly changing the menu and very classic preparations they do every single service. The level of complexity, attention to detail is all, I mean, impressed me up until the last day that I worked there, which I think is a pretty tall order to do. Usually people get complacent, especially in the kitchen. But you're going to have a 9-course menu. Typically, it'll range about 3 hours. You can spend any range of money that you would like.
So there's one seating per evening.
Basically, they'll seat about 6 tables right at once, and then they seat a table every 15 minutes so they don't waylay the kitchen. They'll turn about 6 or 7 tables throughout the evening out of 17. So about a third of the restaurant will actually reseat.
The wine that you get at French Laundry, are you all obliged to just sell Napa wines since you're in the neighborhood, or do you bring in stuff from France and overseas?
It really depends. About two-thirds of the list is probably actually European. A large contingent from California, for sure. But it really depends on what the guests are looking for. Maybe it's their first day in Napa and they want all Napa wines. It's awesome. They can do that. Or it's their last day and they're dying for some Sancerre and some Bordeaux and some Burgundy to kind of recheck their palates from the week.
Do you see diners at the French Laundry who are kind of like looking around like, okay, I've heard of this place for years. I can't believe I'm finally here. Sometimes when you do things like that, it's almost like an out-of-body experience. You can't experience it as well as you should if you just walked in off the street. Do you know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. Everyone, when they walk in there, is nervous. In fact, the two times that I dined there, both times I walked in the door, I was nervous.
Oh, now that's weird. You walk into a restaurant as a diner and you're nervous.
You're nervous. And the biggest, and really the first thing that we need to do right away is to put them at ease, you know, get a glass of champagne down and make them feel comfortable like they're in your house. And sometimes it takes 15 minutes, sometimes it takes 45, but the goal is to get there.
Yeah.
Get to that point to where they're laughing, they're having fun, and they're able to really experience what we are trying to offer, especially at that price point, for sure. I mean, the biggest thing that you have to compete against is their expectations. And everyone has a super high expectation, and you have to meet it or exceed it every single time, every single table, every single night. Because at the French Laundry, every night is a Saturday night. They're sold out every night. There's no lulls. Every night you're definitely pushing.
As a staff member at French Laundry, how do you handle the stress of being, you know, on stage and at the top of your game every night? I mean, everybody in the restaurant biz should be that way, but you know, you're going to have an off night.
It's actually easier to do when you're busy every night. When you're busy every night, you are driven to perform at that level. It's, I think, much harder to do when you walk in and Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, you've only got half the restaurant filled up. And then you come and you get, you know, beat up on the weekends. It's that constant. We know exactly how many people are walking in the door that night. There's no walk-ins. So we can prepare for it down to the nth degree, and we do.
We're visiting with Chris Howell, who is a senior wine advisor with Souterrage. Did I say it correctly?
Yeah, you did.
All right, which is based in California. You're also a wine writer for St. Louis Magazine. What kind of things are you contributing to St. Louis Magazine?
So George Mahey, my editor, got me involved before actually I left for California. So I've been doing that even longer, about 5 years. Writing not just wine. I've done beer, I've done spirits. We call it liquid assets. And it's basically anything that would have an intoxicating agent maybe involved. And that's fun for me. Not only does it keep me fresh and tied in to St. Louis, which is very near and dear to my heart, but it provides an outlet for maybe some of my criticism and also offering St. Louisans maybe an insight into a different voice that they might not get in the typical beverage scene in St. Louis.
When did you get your sommelier stripes, and how tough was that?
Yeah, well, I passed my first test in 1998, and I'm still heading towards my final goal of master sommelier, which I'll take that test again first part of next year. And it's an ongoing process, so there's various levels. Right now, I'm an advanced sommelier going for my master diploma. But you never stop learning. The world of wine is so vast and so complicated that I know that I'll never know it all, which I'm okay with. But it's the pursuit of it is what keeps me getting up every morning.
When you take that test, it's not like a multiple choice fill in the blank thing.
I wish it was.
There's orals and there's demos and stuff you got to do, right?
Yeah, so the master exam is broken up into three parts. You have theory, which is you and three other masters on the other side of the table firing oral questions. And if you don't know it and you go on the next one, it's done. If you think about it 30 seconds later, it doesn't matter.
Gotcha.
So it's extremely stressful. Tasting, which tends to be the hardest part for people to pass, is another segment in which you walk into the room. There's six glasses of wine that are already poured. Three are white, three are red. And for the next 25 minutes, you have to discuss everything from the brightness, the clarity, the viscosity, the density of color, the aromatics, fruit, herbs, spices, flowers, non-fruit, mineral, oak, what kind of oak, how long, is the fruit ripe, desiccated, underripe, raisinated? And then, after all of that litany of things you go through, you talk about the structure, how much alcohol is in there, how much acidity, and ending up at this is, you know, a 2010 Sancerre from the Central Vineyards of the Loire Valley. Mm-hmm. And hopefully that is the wine. And you're getting scored all the way through, but you still have to get the wines right. So in my last test, I only got 4 out of the 6 wines right. You really need to get 5. So it's one of those things, you have to get to where you can almost pick up the wine, smell it once, and you know what it is, and you can start filling out everything else that you're experiencing. And if you decide to talk yourself out of it, great. Hopefully you talk yourself into the right answer. I did not on my last test. I overthought it, and I got to go back.
Well, good luck with that. In the meantime, tell us about your new gig.
What we do as a private retailer, helping our clients source wines that they can't normally get. So you might be able to go to a great wine shop and get the 2010 Burgundies that are coming out, which are going to be awesome and a little pricey because the yields were down. And that's great. That's why you would go to wine shop XYZ. But for what I do, you'd say, Chris, I really like Domaine Lefleuve, and I got the 10s. I have the 2009s. I've heard that the stuff in the late 90s is really good. Do you have any of that stuff? And I say, I might not have it right now, but I'll go find it. And that's what our sourcing teams do. Out of France and Germany and Spain and Italy, we're able to source older things directly from the wineries and the chateaus that have unbelievable provenance and are unequaled in terms of, say, what you could get at auction, because auctions are really dicey right now. There's a lot of counterfeit going on in auctions, and people are getting skittish, which really puts what Sudiraj does in the forefront, dealing with our clients on a very high touch, very personal basis. So, you know, I'm not going to offer you white Burgundy if you've never bought white Burgundy from me. You like Rhones, and you buy as much Shut Enough to Pop as you can get your hands on. Great. So the next time I have some old Beau Castel come my way, I'm going to think of you and I'm going to reach out to you. And that's really what Sudiraj does. We work with a couple of very high-end restaurants. We sell to the French Laundry. We sell to Per Se. But typically what we're looking for is to help individuals kind of diversify their collections and their cellars and to be able to get wines for them that they can't get from anyone else.
Well, hey, thank you very much for stopping by and talking wine with us. Nice to meet you, Chris Howell.
It was nice to meet you as well.
Thanks again for stopping by, and we'll look for you in St. Louis Magazine.
Absolutely.
Okay, that's Chris Howell. You can read his Liquid Assets column in St. Louis Magazine. I'm David Craig. This is Food Talk STL, and gosh, we're done. We are going to be preempted again next week by Illinois football. The Illini are playing tonight at Arizona State. It's a 9:30 kickoff on 590 The Fan. In the meantime, visit our website, foodtalkstl.com. Follow us on Twitter at foodtalkstl. Like us on Facebook. Contact the show via email, foodtalkstl@yahoo.com. And listen to us when we're here. We're back on September 22nd at 11 a.m. In the meantime, happy eating, happy drinking. Keep it here, 590, The Fan, KFNS.